All right, everyone, get ready, because today we're diving deep into a word that holds almost magical power in the courtroom.
Ooh, magical power. I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
That word is acquittal. Seriously, once a judge enters acquittal, it creates this legal barrier that's basically impossible to break through.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. We're talking about how even if there's a chance of errors, that word acquittal is the final say. That's a juicy topic.
It is. And to really understand it, we need to break down a landmark case.
Hit me with it.
Fong Fu v. United States. This case involved a judge doing something totally unexpected. Picture this. Corporate conspiracy case. Trial is underway.
Okay, I'm following. White-collar crime, lots of tension in the courtroom. What happened?
The judge acquits the defendants before the prosecution even finishes presenting their evidence.
Whoa, hold up. That's not how things usually go, right? The prosecution lays out their case, then the defense gets their turn, and then it's up to the jury. This Fong Fu case sounds like it throws a wrench in the whole system.
It totally does. Let's set the scene. Federal trial. Accusations of conspiracy are flying around, and suddenly, the judge slams on the brakes after only 3.5 witnesses.
3.5. Gotta love the legal specificity there. What on earth prompted such a sudden move from the judge?
Well, the judge was seriously worried about two big things.
Right, let's hear them.
First, there were signs that the prosecution might have been acting improperly. And second, the judge just wasn't buying what the witnesses were saying. They had big doubts about their credibility.
So the judge had concerns about how the prosecution was handling things and didn't believe the witnesses. That's a pretty strong reaction to just 3.5 witnesses.
It was a strong reaction. The judge decided to use their authority and direct a verdict of acquittal. Basically, they took the decision completely out of the jury's hands.
Wow. It's not every day you see a judge basically overrule the jury before they even get a chance to deliberate. Talk about a bold move.
Bold, and it definitely didn't sit well with the government.
I can imagine. So what happened next? Did they just accept the judge's decision?
Nope, they weren't going down without a fight. The government appealed the decision, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. This case turned into a huge showdown.
A showdown between?
Between the limits of judicial power and the executive branch's duty to make sure laws are followed.
I bet that got intense. And I'm guessing a very important part of our legal system is at the heart of all this.
You got it. It all boils down to the Fifth Amendment's Double Jeopardy Clause.
The Double Jeopardy Clause. That's the one that says you can't be tried twice for the same crime, right?
Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it?
It does, but here's where Fong Fu throws a curveball. The Supreme Court had to wrestle with this tricky question.
Okay, what's the question?
What happens when that first trial, the one with the acquittal, might have had problems, you know, maybe some errors along the way? Does the Constitution care more about the result, meaning the acquittal, or the process, even if there were mistakes? So it's about whether the Constitution prioritizes getting the right outcome versus following the proper procedure, even if things might have gone wrong during that process.
That's the dilemma. So how did the Supreme Court rule in the end?
In a per curiam decision, they sided with the defendants, which meant the acquittals were upheld.
Per curiam. Refresh my memory. What does that mean again?
It means all the justices agreed on the outcome, but there wasn't one specific author for the opinion. It was a joint decision.
Right, thanks. Now back to their reasoning. You're telling me it didn't even matter why the judge acquitted the defendants? Like, what if they literally flipped a coin to decide?
That's a fantastic question, and the Fong Fu decision seems to suggest that even in that wild scenario, the acquittal would likely stand. They really emphasized how powerful and absolute an acquittal is. They focused on the outcome, not the logic behind it.
That's a big deal. But we gotta be clear here, this is different from a mistrial, right?
Right.
Those can be retried because a verdict isn't reached.
You are absolutely correct to point that out. A mistrial and an acquittal are completely different animals legally.
So why is an acquittal seen as so final and powerful?
The Supreme Court made it crystal clear in Fong Fu that an acquittal triggers the Double Jeopardy Clause, creating a jurisdictional bar.
Jurisdictional bar? Sounds serious.
It is. It basically means no court, not even the highest court in the land, can overrule that acquittal. It's like a legal shield that prevents anyone from touching that decision.
Wow, now I'm starting to see why you called an acquittal a magic spell earlier. That word really does have incredible power in the courtroom. But were all the Supreme Court justices totally on board with this interpretation? This had to be a controversial case, right?
They were sharp. There was some disagreement, even though all the justices agreed on the outcome. Justice Harlan went along with the decision but had some concerns about acquittals given only because of prosecutorial misconduct.
So he was a little hesitant, like he was thinking there might be exceptions to this rule down the road.
Exactly. He seemed to be suggesting that maybe in future cases, things could be different. Justice Clark really felt that if this acquittal was allowed to stand, it would set a dangerous precedent.
What do you mean? Like it would open the door for more people to get away with stuff?
Yeah. Basically, he was concerned that someone who might actually be guilty could avoid consequences just because a judge made a procedural mistake.
That makes sense. Before we get lost in the dissent, though, I'm curious about the government side of things.
Yeah, that's important context, right? I mean, they took this all the way to the Supreme Court, so they must have been pretty convinced the judge messed up.
Definitely. What were their main arguments? Why did they think the judge's decision was so wrong?
Well, their whole argument boiled down to the idea that the judge had basically stepped on the jury's toes and taken over their job.
Ah, I see. They were saying the judge had no business deciding if witnesses were believable or if the prosecution had a good case at that point in the trial.
Exactly. They argued that the judge's actions had totally messed up the trial process and violated the defendant's right to due process, you know, a fair trial.
Right, because typically those are things we think of as the jury's responsibility, not the judge's.
Exactly. The government believed the prosecution had a constitutional right to present their entire case before anyone, including the judge, could decide if the defendants were guilty or not.
Okay, so by sort of cutting them off early, the judge had denied the government a fair chance to pursue justice.
That was their argument.
And to be fair to the government, we are talking about some pretty serious accusations in this case. It wasn't like a speeding ticket or something.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about conspiracy and hiding important information, charges that can lead to big consequences.
Exactly. So the government had a lot at stake here.
Right. And they also pointed out that the judge had made this huge decision after hearing from just a tiny number of witnesses. They said it was way too early to really know how strong their case was.
Like they were saying, hold on, we're just getting warmed up here. We have a ton more evidence and witnesses and arguments, and you're shutting us down before we even get going.
Pretty much. It's easy to imagine how frustrated they must have been. They felt like the judge had created an unfair situation, basically giving the defendants a big advantage by not letting the prosecution present their whole case to the jury.
So their appeal to the Supreme Court basically came down to this acquittal is wrong. It was based on an incomplete judgment, and we need to be able to retry this case and let a jury make the decision.
That's a perfect summary. They were adamant that a real trial, a fair trial, meant letting them present everything they had, not having it cut short just because a judge had their own opinion about the evidence.
Right. And of course, as we discussed earlier, we know the Supreme Court ultimately disagreed with them. They sided with the defendants and said the double jeopardy clause means there can't be another trial. And that's what makes Fong Fu such a fascinating case, I think. It makes us think about these two fundamental ideas.
Yeah.
Accuracy and finality, and how they can be in conflict in our justice system.
Absolutely. It really highlights the fact that finding true justice isn't always just about figuring out who's guilty and who's not. It's also about following a specific set of rules, a process, even if that process sometimes leads to a result that doesn't feel quite right.
That's a really interesting point. It's like there's a tension between getting the right outcome and following the proper procedures.
Yes, and Justice Clark's dissent really captures that tension. He basically argued that we shouldn't let rigid rules get in the way of a fair and just outcome, even if it means bending those rules a bit.
So he was saying sometimes we need to prioritize getting things right, even if it means being a bit flexible with the rules.
Yeah, that was his main point. He saw Fong Fu as a potentially dangerous situation that could let guilty people avoid consequences just because a judge made a technical mistake.
But the majority opinion in Fong Fu had a different view. It seemed like they were saying that even if we think someone might have gotten away with something, we have to accept that to protect this bigger principle of double jeopardy, this idea that you can't be tried twice for the same crime.
Precisely. The majority seemed really focused on protecting individuals from the government's power. It's like they saw the double jeopardy clause as a shield, preventing the government from putting someone on trial over and over until they finally get the result they want.
It makes you wonder, where do you draw the line? How do you balance the desire for justice with the need to protect individual rights and limit the power of the government?
That's a question for the ages, really. And Fong Fu is a powerful example of that struggle. It's a reminder that even when it comes to criminal prosecution, the government doesn't have absolute power. There are limits, rules, and that one word, acquittal, can act as a huge check on that power.
It sounds like this case really brought up some deep philosophical questions about justice, the role of the courts, and the balance of power in our legal system. And I think you're right. There are good arguments to be made on both sides. It's definitely not a simple black and white issue.
Definitely not. Feng Fu makes us think about the trade-offs and compromises we make as a society to uphold our constitutional values. Do we really value preventing double jeopardy so much that we're willing to risk letting a potentially guilty person go free?
Those are questions that lawyers, judges, and really everyone in society grapple with, right?
Yeah.
And they're still relevant today, even all these years after Feng Fu was decided.
Absolutely. And they're especially relevant today in a time when court decisions are constantly under the microscope and people are demanding more accountability.
So where do we go from here? How has Feng Fu shaped the way things work in the legal world since it was decided? And what can we learn from it?
All right, so we've really dug into the Feng Fu case, looking at both sides and the Supreme Court's reasoning. But now I'm thinking, what does all this really mean in the real world? Like, beyond the legal theory, how does Feng Fu actually affect things?
That's the key question, right? Feng Fu seems like it's about a very specific situation, but it's had a huge impact on the legal system, on how trials are done, even today.
And this is where it gets super interesting for me, because we've been talking about how Feng Fu basically gives defendants this get-out-of-jail-free card with that word acquittal. But what does that mean practically for lawyers on both sides?
Well, for prosecutors, Feng Fu is a big wake-up call. It tells them they got to be super careful and strategic from the very beginning. They need a rock-solid case with everything perfect, witnesses carefully checked, arguments anticipated, and every single piece of evidence ready to go.
Because if a judge just decides to grant an acquittal, boom, that's it. No do-overs for the prosecution. Exactly. And on the other side, for defense attorneys, Feng Fu adds this whole new strategic angle. Imagine you're a defense attorney, and you can tell the prosecution's case is weak. Feng Fu might make you think, is there a chance, even a risky one, that I could push the judge for a directed acquittal?
Sounds like a big gamble, to be honest.
Oh, it is. High risk, high reward. Some defense attorneys might go for it, especially if they're really good at persuasion or if they see a big hole in the prosecution's case.
So Feng Fu has made trial strategy way more complex for both sides. But let's zoom out even more. What are the big picture implications of this case for society?
Feng Fu makes us think about some really fundamental things about our values. It shows this conflict between wanting accuracy in the justice system, meaning making sure the guilty are punished, and wanting finality, meaning that trials don't go on forever.
It's like walking a tightrope. We want justice to be served, but we also want to protect individual rights and make sure the government doesn't have too much power. And sometimes those two goals can be in direct conflict.
You're right on the money there. That's where the philosophical debates get really interesting. Some legal experts say the absolute rule of Feng Fu, no matter how the acquittal happened, is essential to prevent the government from having too much power and to protect people's freedom.
But I bet there are others who would say that such a strict rule could let guilty people off the hook, which could then make people lose trust in the justice system.
Exactly. It's complicated with valid points on both sides. And in today's world, with courts always under scrutiny and people demanding accountability, the Feng Fu precedent faces even more challenges. Think about social media and the news cycle. Everything's so fast-paced now.
Yeah, there's so much pressure for accountability.
Yeah.
And that can clash with the fact that an acquittal is final, even if it seems iffy to the public.
Imagine a high-profile case where everyone thinks the defendant is guilty, but they're acquitted because of some technicality or mistake by the judge. People would be outraged, wanting another trial or some way to hold that person accountable. But Feng Fu basically says, nope, that's not how it works. That can be a really tough thing for people to accept.
It really shows the tension between the law, with its focus on rules and precedents, and public opinion, which is often more emotional and wants to see justice done right away. And that tension probably won't go away anytime soon.
You're right. And as our ideas about justice change, we might see more challenges to Feng Fu in the future. It'll be interesting to see how courts handle those challenges while still upholding the core principles of due process and a fair trial.
So here's the main takeaway from our deep dive into Feng Fu v. United States. It's way more than just a legal case. It's a symbol of this constant balancing act between individual rights, government power, and the pursuit of justice. It's a reminder that the law isn't always simple. It's messy and complex and reflects our values as a society. It shows how much we care about creating a just world.
That's what makes these deep dives so great, don't you think? We get to explore these tricky legal issues, look at all sides, and hopefully get some good conversations going.
Totally agree. So next time you're thinking about justice, about whether it's more important to get the right outcome or follow the rules perfectly, remember Fong Fu v. United States. It's a case that's still shaping how we think about justice today. And that's a wrap for today's deep dives. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.